Tuesday. Today is August the 27th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to continue our discussion with Craig Hurley, soybean lead for BEX. We're going to talk about some of the planting practices, planting populations, row spacing, and some of the different changes we've seen over time. We'll get his thoughts on the subject and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to pick up today where we left off from yesterday, continuing our visit with Craig Hurley. He is the soybean lead for BEX.
Different production practices or maybe techniques within that. Your opinions when it comes to, you know, for quite a few years, we're gone with solid stand soybeans or drilled beans at 7.5-inch rows. And then we went maybe the narrows with 15s or the 30-inch rows and different plant populations. And now really looking at within the row spacing, better placement of seed or singulation, almost more like corn planting than soybean planting. Maybe thoughts on that as we change and adjust our seeding rates.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things there. I mean, when we think about just the population in general, we've been a proponent of reducing population, you know, and so a lot of guys struggle to, with the concept of jumping dramatically. And so we talk about a stair-step approach quite a bit, you know, taking what you know, and if the population has really never been too thin from the combine seat, then can we move that down a little bit? Can we take the opportunity to give each individual plant a little more room, a little more attention? And so I think by doing that, we're giving ourselves an opportunity to maximize the yield of the individual plant. We've seen a lot of populations that have, you know, come down on the farm by 10, 20,000, 30,000 an acre over the course of a few years' time. And the benefit of that is being reaped in terms of similar to even higher type yields without the input cost that's there associated with that. We look at row spacing, and you're right, we have moved a lot of different directions, and I think there's some geographical differences in terms of what the right row spacing is. The other thing I think about is if my option is I can get the bean in earlier or be in a less ideal row spacing, you know, than maybe what the total trend is, I'd rather have the soybean in the ground earlier to take advantage of that yield opportunity. We look at the trends, and, you know, in our PFR research, typically what we see is the 15-inch row spacing and even 10-inch row spacing does historically show an advantage over like a 30-inch row spacing type of configuration. But it's not an advantage that is so many bushel that, you know, everybody needs to re-equip to take advantage of that opportunity. And so, you know, the combination of the right row spacing and, you know, reducing population and then, you know, treating that population well in terms of the management strategy, I think that's what's really driving these incremental gains in terms of the soybean yields. I think the other thing is an industry, when we look at the breeding efforts and the technologies that are being applied to soybean breeding and soybean development, you know, there's a greater emphasis, there's greater technology and new innovation that has gone into developing these varieties. And it's really put us in a position where genetically we have better disease, you know, in terms of SDS tolerance or white mold tolerance, Phytophthora tolerance, all the things that rob yield. And so when we're able to protect that yield, we see the full potential of the crop, and the soybean potential is very large in terms of total bushels. The other thing that we're seeing, and right now it's specific to more of the Enlist varieties, but the Peking cyst package is part of our discussion point with our customers in terms of does it make sense? Is there value for their operation? And, you know, is there an underlying cyst pressure that is maybe limiting some of their yield opportunity? And for each farm, that's going to vary anywhere from really high pressure to, you know, little or mostly unknown pressure in a lot of areas. But being able to manage that to give us an opportunity to focus on managing cyst and putting a different cyst protection out into the field, it does give us an opportunity to kind of keep those pests guessing. I talk about with weeds, we keep them guessing by mixing up the chemistry, you know, and the same thing with cyst and other things that we're trying to protect, whether it's corn or soybeans, is kind of keeping the insects or the pests or the weeds guessing in terms of what we're going to do next. And so having a viable option in terms of cyst management is important. And then the varieties themselves that are available in our lineup that have Peking tolerance are much improved. There was a time and place up until about 3 years ago where we felt like if it had Peking, it was at best kind of mean of the trial, you know, average to below average type of performance for yield. But in the last generation of products that we've brought into our portfolio, we're seeing plus yield in terms of relative to the mean of the trial. Some of the Peking offerings are even, you know, the top yielding products in the trials across, you know, multiple state environments. And so it's not just the areas where we know we have the highest pressure. that we're seeing potentially the benefit of that. And so, you know, it's really important for us to keep offering different choices, different technologies and innovations to maximize our soybean performance.
Again, those are the comments of Craig Hurley, soybean lead for BEX. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to take some time and change directions as we look at USDA's latest report on farmland values and cash rents and what it may say about 2024 values and trends. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Farm real estate values continue to increase year over year.
We're looking at an increase of $200 an acre over last year to an average of $4,170.
Up 5% year over year, according to USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer in the National Agricultural Statistics Service's latest annual look at farmland values and cash rents. When land and buildings on farms are broken down by cropland and pasture land.
Look at cropland value. We're talking the average land value up to $5,570 an acre from $5,320 the year before. That's an increase of $250 an acre.
That's a 4.7% increase from 2023. Pasture land values rose $90 from the previous year. That 5.2% increase from last year reflects an average of $1,830 per acre. Turning to cash rents.
When you look at the average rental rate for a cropland, you get $160 an acre. That's up $5 an acre from the prior year.
With irrigated acreage nationwide valued at $245 an acre, while non-irrigated land values come in at $146 per acre. Those values are also up from the prior year. An increase of irrigated land by acre of $18 year over year, and a $4 an acre increase in non-irrigated land from 2023. So Chief Economist Seth Meyer, taking this year's farmland value and cash rents into account, how do they compare to previous years regarding strength of values and how other economic factors factor in?
The last 3 years, maybe even 4 years, we've seen pretty strong land price increase on the order of 5% this year in terms of land value, higher than that the prior year. And we see the same thing in terms of rental rates. That's a slowdown from what we saw between 22 and 23, but still a pretty strong number as we head into tighter margins for producers.
With Meyer thinking land values and cash rents will remain strong, even with downward pressure from expected lower commodity prices and tighter margins in the new marketing year. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.